I think that upon three occasions, in some aspect or another, we have in these evening sessions considered baptism. I want to finish on that same note tonight and say at least three things to you. Perhaps I ought to say at most. The first one is in Romans chapter 6. If you thought we're going home now, I'm sorry to disappoint you. We've been used to 4-hour sessions in our evening. And in Romans chapter 6, I want you to notice, first of all, that in this room tonight we have engaged in, observed, and in some cases applied or experienced baptism in water. You may have been taught that what is in Romans 6 is water baptism, but you won't find any water in Romans chapter 6. You read it through and come out of the doctrines, and if you read Romans 6, you won't find any water in Romans 6. It's a spiritual baptism, of which water is but a parable, if you like, and that which took place in this tank, a picture. There's no water in Romans 6. It is a baptism that has to do with sin. You don't get rid of sin by dipping your body in water. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we? How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Do you know how you got rid of sin? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Amen. So the baptism I want to talk about is the baptism into Jesus Christ. There is no other way, as I think I said last the other night, I'm quite, not quite sure, there is no other way of being in Christ, of getting into Christ, or of God bringing you into Christ, than by being baptized into Christ. You believe, and in consequence of your faith, you are baptized into Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It is a great spiritual baptism. A man's spirit will remain sinful and can be and do no other than sin until it is taken out of the sin condition and put into the righteous condition. The righteous condition of spirit is Christ. And you have to be baptized into him, or else he's unreachable. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Now God knew of no other method than baptizing you into Jesus Christ than the method delineated here. That you, in order to be baptized into the living Christ, must be baptized first into his death. There is no other way You cannot join Jesus Christ at Bethlehem's manger. You may come, if you're wise enough, to worship him there. You may come and give him many gifts from your store of wisdom and for your personal regard for him. But you don't get into Jesus Christ in the manger. Neither do you get into Jesus Christ in Jordan. You may come and witness and love to hear that he's the one that baptizes in the Holy Ghost and fire, and know that he is truly your Christ, the Messiah, as pointed out by someone who is filled with the Spirit. You don't get into Jesus Christ anywhere along the road. You only get into Jesus Christ, beloved, when you are baptized into his death. You may stand at his cross, but that won't bring you into him. You may stand and admire and adore the wonder of the man who withheld not even his last drop of blood or his last breath from redeeming mankind. But you don't get into that. You get into Jesus Christ at his death. That's what your Bible says. You're not baptized into his sacrifice. That was his exclusively. Done for you. You must be baptized into his death. Into the cessation of being human being there anyway. You must cease to be a sinful human being. You must come to death. God devised no other way than death. And you have to be baptized into his death. Verse 4. Therefore, you were buried with him by baptism into death. That's why. Because you had to be baptized into his death, you were buried with him into death. His death buried you into death. When you were baptized into his death, you were buried into a constant state of death. Hallelujah. I died and I'm dead. Hallelujah. I died, I'm dead, I'm buried, and I remain dead. That's the teaching of the Bible. That is the fundamental thing for you and I to understand. And being buried with him by baptism into death, it was all done so that, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Planted together in the likeness of his death. That's the next verse. It is quite impossible for a man to walk unless he's first been planted. Planting, you may think, makes you static, stationary, fixed. But strangely enough, here is the divine paradox. It's impossible for a person to move and walk until first he's been planted in death. It's quite impossible to walk in the Spirit. It's quite impossible to walk in newness of life. It's totally impossible to do it. Hence the groans, moans, pleas, supplications, tears and whatnot, because people find they can't do it, though they may want to, and find themselves in Romans chapter 7, entirely unable to do what they want most dearly, this side of heaven to do, live to the glory of God. This can only take place, beloved, and you were baptized into Jesus Christ with this in view, that you come via death and resurrection. And you never leave that place. You remain here planted together, never leaving it. This is so many people's trouble. They leave the place of death. You've got to be planted in that death. And it's only if you're planted, I didn't put the word if in the verse, I am repeating what's there. It's only if you are planted together in the likeness of his death that you can be of resurrection. The other words aren't in the Greek. You may have in the likeness of his resurrection. But it is this: you shall be also of resurrection. There is no resurrection for people who aren't planted in that death. That is what Paul is telling us. Amen. The bodies went into the water. Someone said, put me deep. Don't make it. Don't hurry it. Well, whatever he said, he was in and out in the twinkling of an eye almost. Good job for him. But not with this baptism. You have to be dead, buried, permanently in death, and then your new life permanently planted in that death. That is why when John the Revelator on Patmos got a vision of the throne and what things are like up there, and he heard already the voice say to him, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. I am the first. I am the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. He heard all that. And then God opened the door in heaven and said, now come up here and have a look, John. And the first thing he saw was a lamb, just as it had been slain, right there on the throne. Hallelujah. Immediately on the throne. Bless God. And alive forevermore. A young lamb, just as he'd been slain. Oh, God, keep me there. If I want to live on the throne, if I want to be what you want me to be, Lord, keep me planted in that death. That is the ground. That is the only ground. That is the glorious ground that God has provided. I'm rooted in that death. I draw my life from it. Oh, glorious Lord. It's all so marvelous. I'm planted in thy death. I've been baptized into thee, Lord. But I'm baptized through your death. Lest I should think that I can leave it behind, root me in it. There are no fruits that God wants save from this rooting. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not dead in death, I'm alive. Jesus Christ was alive in death, wasn't he? Yes. Yeah. That's the marvel of it. That's the contradiction, so it seems. He was alive in death. Do you think he went all dead into the grave? He went all alive into the grave. They put his body in the tomb, but he went all alive down. Glory be to God. Amen. And what he did in that state to prepare it for me to be planted in it, who can tell? Hallelujah. Marvelous. Well, that's the first thing for you to understand. And of course you know that the fruit of that is given to you in the end of the chapter, verse 22, being now made free from sin and become slaves to God, you have your fruit under holiness. And the end of that slavery and fruit is everlasting life. Amen. Glory be to God. The next thing that I want us to see is in the Galatian letter. Oh, I'm so thrilled with this book. I'm so glad it's so plain. God knew what an idiot I was. I needed to have it written so plainly, so simply. It's all simple, isn't it? You haven't found this difficult, have you? No. In Galatians chapter 3, it says this, verse 26, you are all the children of God. Now, if I stopped there, you could well denounce me as a universalist. You know, the universal brotherhood of man. But Paul doesn't stop there. This is what he says. You are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. No one else is. Hallelujah. Now, this is so wonderful. Now, this is how you became a child of God. And this is how your faith in Christ Jesus was proved. This is what the word for is about. He's taking you back into the processes of his logic. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ. That's it. This is it. Now, when you've been baptized into Jesus Christ, you are a child of God. No one else is. Only those. You are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many as have been baptized into Jesus Christ have done what? Put him on. You've put on Christ. Hallelujah. Now you've put on Christ if you've been baptized into him. You've put him on. Hallelujah. Isn't that a marvelous thing? You rose up into Christ and you put him on. Oh, the divine wonders of this, beloved. You put on Christ. Put him on. God put you in and you put him on. That's right. It's all simple. That means to say, beloved, that I'm not trying to put it on that I'm a Christian. It means that I have the life of Christ and I have put on Christ. And because I put on my clothes, you see, and I put on a tie, you can see it. Because I put on a shirt here, you can see it. And because I put on my glasses, you can see them. That's it. Then people know that it's Christ. It's what you put on. But this putting on isn't putting on over sin. You've got to lose your sin. That's why we started in Romans 6. You lose your sin. Shall we continue in sin? If you will, you won't be able to put on Christ. You'll put on a show. And God will call you a hypocrite. That is, if you deliberately do it. Oh, this is it. God says, well, we'll kill him first. We'll get rid of this old man. Hallelujah. We'll kill him. It was an agreement between Jesus and his Father. They planned to kill you. How about that? They planned to kill you. Oh, glory. It's nice to feel that God planned to kill you. That's what we've been witnessing. That's what it's supposed to show you. God absolutely adamant about Adam. He's got to die. That's the finishing. Hallelujah. Now, when you've gone down into that and you've risen again and you're in Christ, now you can put Christ on. Hallelujah. Oh, this is great, isn't it? Put him on. That is, in new habits, new ways of life. New, that everybody sees. Put him on. Glory. Put him on. That's what you ought to do. Put on him. Lovely, isn't it? Dress yourself up in Christ. It's lovely to dress yourself up in Christ. Lovely to dress yourself up in his benedictions and in his goodnesses. And in all his loving kindness. Amen. Put him on. Praise God. Take a walk with him, will you? Through the Gospels. Do it regularly. Read the four Gospels once a month. Put him on. Bother your head about what somebody else is saying in the Old Testament very much. You get on and read those Gospels. Praise God. How are you going to put on Christ if you never walk with him, never talk with him, never understand the attitude he adopted to certain situations? Never understand his way here or his way there. How in the world do you think you're going to know? You read it, hallelujah, until you know what to put on. Hallelujah. You know, ladies, if it's a sunny lady, they like to change their clothes about three times a day. So they wear one frock in the morning and another frock for the night. And then at night time, you see, they get out of their trousers and into their dresses or something. Very queer. Whereas a man, he puts his clothes on and he'd go to bed in them if he could. And the older you get, the better the habit grows. You're to put on Christ and keep him on.
That's what you're to do.
As many of you, only as many of us as have been baptized into Christ. Nobody else can do it. That's why you marvel at some people. Oh, isn't he gracious? Isn't he compassionate? Isn't he loving? Well, he's put on Christ. Simple enough. That's what he's done. Well, it's not just outward show. He's dead. He's planted in that dead. He's walking by the glory of God. You can put the garments of Christ over glory, can't you? And when the garments are over glory, oh, what happens? Well, I'll tell you, let's come. Luke 9, we're going up. Don't turn it up. You should know all this. I shouldn't have to tell you where it's found. You see, you haven't been reading your Gospels through once a month, have you? You take the walk with Jesus up the Mount of Transfiguration. And he's glorified. And his clothes begin to shine from the glory within. Said you can't tell clothes from him. Everything's glorious. Going to put him on. And if you love, it's to be glorious love. If you're compassionate, it's to be glorious compassion. If you're tender, it's to be glorious tenderness. If you're firm, it's got to be glorious firmness. Amen. You put on Christ. As many of us as have been baptized into him do this. If you have been baptized into the old man, or as somebody said here the other night, he went down first time a dry sinner and came up a wet sinner, then he couldn't put on Christ. He could only put on himself in his old habits, in his old ways. You soon get fed up with trying, don't you? You know. Oh, I tried till you're weary to death trying. And God, that's what God says. He says, then when you get weary and weary and weary of trying, he says, come unto me, all ye that are weary. You say, well, I thought I did that when I was 14. Well, you didn't. Well, someone might have done, but you know what I mean. When you're weary of trying, when you know it's no good, when you can't give it up, you say, when you say, you can't stop doing it, you get in there, one of these times you'll consent to dying. It won't be a Bible idea. It'll be the deepest desire of your soul. Till you can't live until you've died. That's right. Might sound silly, but it's right. You can't live any longer. How can we live any longer therein? That's the cry. How can I go on? Until you got there, you're not ready. Buried with him into death. Oh God, thank you. Planted in the likeness of that death. You see, it was the likeness, not the exact death. You can't be planted in the sacrificial death. You can't be planted in that. It's like it. There are some parts of that death you are not allowed to touch. Here. Aren't you glad you aren't allowed to go into that punitive part of his death? It would have smashed you. You'd have never got up from hell. if you'd have had to have borne that. But you're planted in the likeness of that death, in its permanency. Hallelujah. Arise. You put on Christ. Hallelujah. Can I do this? Can I have that?
Yeah, put on.
Go on. Hallelujah. Can I be this? Yeah, you are that. Just put it on. This is for you.
Go and see your wardrobe.
The thing you can put on so that you don't walk naked. You've got to put him on. I went up to the bathroom, to scrub my teeth. And I don't know what for I came into the meeting. And there I got the bathroom or something. When I was just in the doorway, there stood a little man. He was as naked as when he was born. He was in his birthday suit. You see? He was in his birthday suit. Naked as he was born. So he didn't mind having the door open. Didn't mind seeing he got nothing on. But you can't walk about with nothing on. You've got to put on Christ. And some of you are still naked, carnal babies from the day you were born again. Hallelujah. We put on Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Put him on. You want to die? Oh, it's all right. Let's go. This time, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. In one spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now you can only get into the body by being immersed in the spirit, according to this verse. In one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, whether bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. Hallelujah. When you were baptized into Christ, well, this is Christ, that's the last word of verse 12. You were baptized into his body. You were baptized into Christ, into his nature, into his person, and this is as you put him on. Now it's the person showing. You were baptized into his nature by the old Adam being slain, the old nature gone, the old sin nature gone, and you were baptized into him and planted in that death and living in that resurrection. Now you've been baptized into his personality as you put on Christ. Hallelujah. Is his ways, his walk, his face, his voice, his touch, his glories, his beauties. That's the person coming forth from the nature. Hallelujah. But here you've been baptized into his body. Hallelujah. Nature, person, body. This is lovely, isn't it? You've been baptized. When you were baptized, you were baptized into his body. Now, water baptism doesn't bring you there. Hallelujah. Water baptism has many, many things to show us, but it can't bring us into the body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ is in spirit. In the spirit. so that he should have a spiritual body. Amen. And you were baptized into that body. When you were baptized into Christ, you can't be baptized into Christ and require a second baptism to bring you into his body. What nonsense. He's not a disembodied Christ. You were baptized into him and into his body. Hallelujah. Do you realize that? And you were made to drink into his spirit, because you can't have a foreign spirit working his body. One spirit, one body. Hallelujah. And so your spirits had to be filled, each one of us had to be filled with his spirit. We had to drink into his spirit. Here there must have been a desire. It may not have been very strong in your consciousness, but there must have been a desire to drink into all the gorgeous source of that life. You must have been so weary of yourself, so sick and tired of the very springs of your life, the motive and power of your conduct, that you just wanted to drink into another person, into another spirit, into another life. Oh, I know I did. I didn't understand all the technical phraseology about it. That doesn't matter about that. Amen. And when you, this is what happened, into his body, into his spirit. Hallelujah. You are now a member of the body of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's where you are now. Are you happy about that? Are you glad that you belong to him and that you're part of it, of him? And you have to be named with him as one head, one body. That's the complete man. Amen. You're in his completeness. You're part of his completeness. Oh, glory. I think this is tremendous. Now, when you've been baptized into the body of Christ, I want you to come over with me into the Ephesian letter. I'm still only on the third point. I did say at most afterwards, but this is the same thing. In Ephesians chapter 1. You've been baptized into one. Are you ready? In verse 20 of chapter 1, who is set at one of Ephesians, who set at God's own right hand in the heavenlies, you're in the body of one who's far above all principality and power and might and dominion. No wonder he said in Romans 6, this is the sort of foundation of it. Sin shall not have dominion over you. And dominion. And every name that's named. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he's got all things under his feet. And he's been given the head over all to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Hallelujah. So you can't be in this body unless you're filled. Every member is filled with the life of the body, with the spirit of the body, with the power of the body.
Oh, this is lovely.
Of the Christ. With the dominion of the Christ. With the name of the Christ. Not only in the age to come, but in this age too. We're here. Oh, what a glorious thing. Now I want you to see in this last verse here that it says his body, and then doesn't speak of shape or form, but fullness. That's his body. His body is fullness. No form. Just fullness. Lord. He's got a body of fullness. He's ever to please. He's thrilled. Got a body of fullness. I've been baptized into this body of fullness.
Glory.
Didn't that thrill you? I want to start turning somersaults. Tells me. Simple. It's so simple. By some people, they tear their hair out. So much so they go nearly bald. Try to get being baptized into fullness, beloved. You've been planted in death permanently. And you've been baptized into fullness permanently. And if it would make any sense, if it made any sense, you can call me a what's name if you like, I don't mind. I would say, be being filled. Well, that's what you're told in Ephesians 5:18. Be full all the time. That's what it says. Be full all the time. Take my finger. Be full all the time. Say, well, I am. I am, it would say to me. Full of blood. Full of power, look. Woo. I don't know. It's so simple. This is the law of life. The law of the spirit of life. In Christ Jesus. God's not stupid. It has to work this way. And how else can it work? This is calculated to take all the worry out of my heart. And all the scheming out of my mind. His fullness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the head never says to the feet, I have no need of thee. What he does say to the feet is, walk in newness of life. Where's newness of life? In you. Forward in the newness of life. You don't find it here. You don't find it there. You don't find it in a water tank. The head of the body. Glory. Hasn't you been baptized into this body? Praise God. I've been made to drink into the spirit of him. I've got his spirit. I know what he's after. I know his intention. His spirit's in me. Bless the name of the Lord. Oh, then I give up all fretting, all worrying. I never sit like this. Trying to work this out. I just believe. I disbelieve. I believe it, you know. You can disbelieve it about me if you like, but I believe it for myself. And you know that's what you've got to do. Did you know that's what you've got to do? And if you can't, that's not wrong. Do you know why you can't? Because he's not your head. And your own head is your head. So you can't believe it. That's right. You were decapitated. You've got to have a new head. You'll think it around, all right? You'll send the signals through. Hallelujah. Oh, my head. Dear, let me cut it off, sister. Comes in a block, brother. You've never had your new head yet. Hallelujah. He'll think the right thoughts. You won't let him be your head. Mind you, you'll get all bothered about pyramid structures, perhaps, and all that. You've got to let him be your head. Glory to God. Walk in newness of life. Hallelujah. Isn't it? See, it comes both from your head and from your roots. You've got to be rooted and grounded. You've got to be rooted in that death. You draw it all up from there. Hallelujah. And you send it all down from here. Now, how can you go wrong? God never intended you should go wrong. He's made every provision. He's given you a new head. He's put you in a new body. He's made you drink of his spirit. He's killed you stone dead. He's buried you in his death permanently. He's planted you in it. Now, you got any more complaints? Well, what's all that grumbling now? Nothing but your own unbelieving heart, and you say you're filled being baptized in the Spirit. You never have. Don't you deceive yourself. It's a death. It's a death. It's a death! Glory! A burial. And it's all over. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now get the headship right then. Far above all principality of power, might, dominion. Every name, far above it. Far above it. What did you say you're being interfered with by powers and principalities and things like this? Far above it. Who's your head? Far above it. It's all under his feet. When you walk in newness of life, you walk in victorious life. It's all under his feet. When you walk in newness of life, you walk in glorious life. When you walk in newness of life, you walk as the person of Jesus Christ. You put him on. Hallelujah. When you walk in newness of life, you walk free from sin. When you walk in newness of life, you have your fruit unto holiness. Hallelujah. Have you had this real baptism? Praise God. He said to the Romans, now this is what's happened to you. And he says to the Galatians, this is what's happened to you. And he says to the Ephesians, this is what's happened to you. So the Romans and the Galatians and the Ephesians say, hallelujah! Poor old me, born in the East End of London. He said it to me. Said it to me. You, he says, you're dead. Oh, I'm ever so glad, Father. Hallelujah. I'm sick and tired of dragging that old life around with me. Oh, you're dead. Said, all right, Lord. But, he said, who's your head? No buts here. Oh, he says, you're dead. Stop shouting. I never heard that Lazarus called to Jesus from in the tomb. Jesus called to Lazarus. Lazarus was dead. Come out, he said. Lazarus hadn't got anything to say for himself. And it's time you stopped. Hallelujah. And the Lord do his glorious work in you. When did you know that you were baptized with his baptism? Both that which he experienced and that which he administered. Brings you into himself. You can only get in by this baptism. How about it? Are you ready to let Christ bring you in tonight? I think it's time we pray. If you know that God's been speaking to you, and you've got to do business with God tonight, you come and kneel here. And we'll pray together. And God, we'll do it. Hallelujah. Baptized into Christ. No other way in, beloved. You believe yourself to the place of baptism. He does the rest. Glory be to God. You come. If you know. Hallelujah. You didn't need to come. God has shown you where you've gone wrong. Put it right. Hallelujah. Buried with Christ and raised with him too. What is the left for me to do? Simply to cease from struggling and strife. Simply to walk in newness of life. Hallelujah. Praise God. You come too. You know God's been speaking to you. That's right. You be led as a lamb to the slaughter now, and it's not like Jesus that your enemy is leading you, it's your friend and your shepherd. That's right, my dear, you come to. Amen. No. What God has said to you.
I say to you, if you've never been baptized in water, that's what you should be. You cannot accept one baptism and reject the other in mind. You can have the water baptism and not experience the spiritual one. But if you have the spiritual one, you can't sanely refuse the physical one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless God. Oh Lord, we rejoice in thee with all joy and praise thee for thy goodness to us, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We do thank you, Father. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Father, will you come forward? Others are coming. Will you move right over? Let his dear precious soul come. Amen. We've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be of resurrection. Hallelujah. Resurrection only takes place from the tomb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They're just the same Bible words. Isn't all that virtuous if it means something to you? And I've changed the words of that chorus, and I sing, since the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, he has quickened my mortal body. By that Spirit, that now that Spirit dwells in me, he's done it. You see, it come out of this, it's got faith brings all these into reality. Come on then, can you sing it? Come on then. Now the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me.
Together with him, made us sit together.